Hello, welcome back. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. Hopefully you enjoyed the last commercial. Keith, what is coming on next?
So next we're going to have Mr. Ben Hodge, and he has prepared for us a video on controlling Azure with a PowerShell Cloud Bot. And we're going to start, just go right ahead into that video for now. And when we're done, and in particular, if there's any questions for Ben, we will come back to him and he'll have a chance to answer them and help us close that particular section out.
Cool.
Thank you.
Controlling Azure with a PowerShell-driven cloud bot. This is something that I've been working on for a little while now, mostly as a proof of concept, but it's starting to take shape into a pretty good framework and tool that I think can quickly be extended into other areas as well. So just a really quick introduction to myself. I know Keith already did a short intro. So I'm the Global Enterprise Evangelist at Kemp Technologies, living in Sydney, Australia. So I work mostly with large service providers, enterprises, government customers, and cloud solution providers, with working on large application delivery projects and doing a lot in DevOps transformations and cloud migrations at the moment. I'm also one of the co-founders of PowerShell Conference Asia, along with Milton, Matt, and Sebastian, who are all based in Singapore. And I'm the lead for PowerShell Australia Meetup. So check us out on meetup.com if you're around Sydney, Melbourne, really anywhere. We do a lot of online stuff, so it's pretty easy to attend wherever you are. You can follow me on Twitter and also check out my blog there. I haven't been too active lately, but hopefully get some new content soon. So I'm going to demo CloudBot. It's a chatbot, and it helps you run your Azure environment through resource management templates, mostly at the moment. And we'll talk a little bit more about upcoming features. So this has really come from a lot of the work that I've been doing at Kemp, and I do need to thank them for allowing me to take a lot of the project code and things I've been doing with them and, you know, repackage that for the community and to share with everybody. So thanks very much for that. Keith asked us to mention what our favorite thing about PowerShell is to celebrate the anniversary today. And my favorite thing about PowerShell is the new cross-platform support. I work a lot with network devices, which are mostly Linux-based, and you know, it really lets me extend, particularly with PowerShell desired state configuration, extend into those third-party products. So quite excited about doing some things with Kemp's products with DSC this year. So before I get into the demo, just want to talk a little bit about how CloudBot works so you can see how all the pieces fit together. So the idea is we have our Microsoft Azure data center, and we've got our devices for administration, mobile devices, whatever we might be working on. So the idea is to use CloudBot to connect those in a way that's portable, easily used, and publishes a lot of complex behaviors in a fairly simple way. So the first piece is Hubot, which is an open source chatbot that has been created by GitHub. They use it internally, and they've also published it for everybody to use. So that's built on Node.js. Coming from a PowerShell and Python background, Node.js is something a little bit out of my element. And most of the scripts for Hubot, for plugin scripts for different behavior, they're all written in CoffeeScript, which is then compiled into JavaScript for Node. So this was a little bit of a challenge to get started. I didn't really want to learn another language, but there was some great work by Matt Hodge, no relation, just a complete coincidence, who did a little chatbot demo online and showing how to use some Node.js libraries that hook into PowerShell to extend Hubot into running your PowerShell scripts and PowerShell libraries. So that was really great. I took a lot of his work and then just extended it to running my Azure templates and some of the tasks we're doing there. So once we have CloudBot, we need some way for our devices to connect. And this is, again, where Hubot gives us a lot of functionality. There's a lot of adapters for Hubot for different chat platforms and ways to interface and talk to him. So I've worked with Slack, but the great thing is if you're using something else like Campfire or really anything you can imagine, you can check out the Hubot plugins. There's a whole ton of them. You could adapt this to whatever interface works for you. But I'm using Slack. We use it in a number of teams, both internally at Camp and also with the communities I'm working with. It's really easy. It loads on every device, which means I can access my CloudBot from any device. So let's get into a quick demo. I'll show you a little bit, you know, about the types of things that you can do with CloudBot. And then I'm going to go into a little bit more about the Azure Resource Management Template Catalog that I've been working on as well, and talk about how that works so you can extend it yourself as well, and also some future features that I'm hoping people will help me add to CloudBot. So here's CampBot. Here's just the name of my CloudBot. This is, you know, we can type help. So here's my Slack channel with CampBot, which is just the name I've given to my CloudBot instance. You can give it any name you like. We can ask him for help. You can see already on the page, but I'll just demonstrate this. And he will publish all of the capabilities that he knows how to do. So we want to do a deploy. That's the custom script I'm going to be demonstrating here. And this will deploy an Azure resource management template from the catalog into one of my resource groups. So we're going to deploy. We're going to do an Ubuntu single server. The only reason I'm not doing a Windows one is the Ubuntu is a bit lighter, deploys faster, to my CloudBot test resource group. And before we do that, I'll just show you there's no funny business here and that that resource group is actually empty. All right, so we've got no resources running there. So let's get CloudBot to deploy that for us. There we go, starting to deploy. Might take a little while and he'll get back to us when it's done. So another great thing about Hubot is it gives us parallel processing. So I can run lots and lots of commands. I can run multiple deployments. I can trigger lots of different things to CloudBot, and he'll run it all in parallel using the Hubot framework. So I don't need to worry about that kind of thing. Whereas if I was deploying natively in a PowerShell shell, for example, Azure RM deployments don't have parallel support at the moment. It can take quite a long time. So this might take, you know, 10 to 15 minutes, particularly mostly with the storage to be deployed. So while that's running in the background, let's have a little bit more of a look at the design and the different scripts that are in play at the moment. So first of all, let's have a look at just the PowerShell script, which will be familiar to everybody. So I've just created a couple of functions here. It's very basic. I'm not using modules at the moment. I would like to get all of these into nice clean modules, but I didn't really have time to package it too well at the moment. So I've got a function here called new CloudBot Azure deployment. There is a new CloudBot Azure session. I'll talk about that in a minute. I'm using service principles for secure certificate-based access. And that's coming from another script because you need to use that across all of your Azure functions. But really, all we're doing is taking in a template file, or resource group details and parameters, and doing a new Azure RM resource group deployment. That's really it. We get back the result. We've got a few try catches to send back different messages about what might have failed. For example, couldn't open an Azure session. Really, that's as complicated as it gets from a PowerShell perspective. So here's our coffee script, which is hooking into our PowerShell script. So Edge is the module that allows Node.js to talk to .NET, including PowerShell. And you can see here in the execute PowerShell that we're dot sourcing our Azure deploy.ps1 script and just running that new CloudBot Azure deployment. And we're using parameters. You can see the variable input from JS. This is a predefined variable that node.js allows us to access and pass information from Node.js into the PowerShell script. So we just have a regular expression that matches the message. So you can see that deploy, then some word to some word, which is deploy our template name to our resource group name. We extract those values, and as long as nothing goes wrong, we pass that to our PowerShell function that we've created. And then once we get a result, we extract some of those responses. We need to return a response in a JSON format. So the CoffeeScript expecting JSON to come back. We pass that, and then we send back different messages to Slack. So it sounds like our deployment has finished. Either that or it's errored. I heard a little Slack message, so let's have a look. There we go. We've got a little cheers. Deploying Ubuntu single server to CloudBot test succeeded. And we should be able to have a look here and now see all of our resources. There we go. I should also, if I open a PuTTY window, should be able to log into that. There we go. Okay. There we go. Hopefully I got the password correct. There we go. There's our Ubuntu server up and running in our Azure resource group. Okay, so let's have a little bit more of a look at a couple of other pieces of CloudBot, particularly how you might want to extend CloudBot and some future features that I'm looking to add. So there's an ARM template catalog and some definition files that you'll see in the CloudBot repository and you'll see in the code. So we have a catalog of ARM templates, and we also have a catalog or definitions of resource groups. So everything's in JSON. The resource groups really just provide the location and the name or path to the corresponding parameter file. There is a naming convention that I've used, but because you've got specific links in there, you don't really need to follow that naming convention. I just do it for clarity and for ease of reading. So the parameter file is an ARM template parameter file. And the idea and the design behind it is that any ARM template can be deployed to any resource group. So there's no hard dependencies there. So this allows us to quickly deploy different scenarios to different resource groups. I've started designing this because at Kemp, I need to quickly build a lot of different scenarios to help work with customer issues and customer environments around their application. We really need to be able to quickly deploy arbitrary designs on demand. We don't have a lot of long-running infrastructure. It's very much built around different customer cases and scenarios for different projects or possibly a support issue. So you'll also see that there is a default.json template and a default params file. Now these are meant to act as known good states. So I have some PESTA tests that allow you to validate any new templates you add and also validate any new resource groups that you might define. Now one of the funny things around validating ARM templates is, and this design to allow them to work in any resource group and any template to have a many-to-many relationship, is you need to define every parameter for every resource group, and you need to have every parameter value in every template across the whole catalog, even if that template or that resource group doesn't need it. Otherwise, your validation will fail. So you might see in some of my templates I've published a whole bunch of ARM parameters that aren't really being used. If you're going to create your own custom ones, just copy the default template or the default parameter file and just adjust accordingly, but leave those parameters spare. Likewise, if you want to add your own parameters for different things, make sure you add them back into all of the other templates. You have to update the whole catalog, otherwise the validation will fail. So let me show you how we can do this. And I actually have a couple of my resource groups are failing the test at the moment, and I'll explain why. There's a couple of quirks around that that happen. So let's just go into our templates folder. Okay, and invoke PESTA. Okay, so this is going to go through all of the templates there and validate them against the default resource group parameter file. So this means that if this passes, our templates are correct. So we don't validate against our own resource groups because it might actually be a problem with the resource group parameters. So that's where these default files come in as a known good state. So you can see that the CloudBot server template, as well as we check the default template definition and all my other various scenarios are passing fine. You'll see some multi-server definitions there. They actually are some more advanced load balance scenarios. I'm using the Kemp ADC if you want to mess around with some advanced stuff in Azure. Really, I've just tried to sanitize some of the stuff we use internally to show you some examples, but there might be some useful things there. So there's all our templates validated. And you could run this test again if you were adding your own. Now you'll see that the PESTA tests are a little bit slow. There's actually two tests that happen. One of them calls the test Azure RM deployment function, which is a bit slow. Probably don't want to be running this all the time. Or you could split, there's also some faster tests, might split them out into unit tests and integration tests if you're doing a lot of this or you've got a really big catalog. Okay, now let's go in and do the same thing and validate our resource group parameter definitions. And you should see these fail. There we go. So the default template is failing against my CloudBot development and my CloudBot test parameters. But you'll see that it's passing when it uses the default parameter file. So this tells me there's a problem with my resource groups rather than with anything, you know, around the actual code. So this is really useful to make sure that we have that baseline there. Now I know with these, the reason it's failing is that there's some namespace conflict. In my parameter files, I just have some default names for examples and they're already used in Azure. That's a very common reason for the parameter files to fail. You need to make sure that you go and put in your own default prefix value there that's unique, and that gets concatenated to make storage and DNS record names. But sometimes they're taken, and you'll see this fail. At the moment, the tests don't feedback very useful information. The best way to find out what's going on is to run, I'll show you here the command. So you can see there's a couple of tests that happen in a test run. One is to check that all the template parameters exist that might be called. Just make sure they all match, otherwise it'll fail. And the next is to run a test Azure RM resource group deployment. So this actually does a real test and validation against Azure. So you need to make sure that namespaces, as I mentioned, don't clash or it'll fail. You need to make sure you have enough calls free, otherwise it'll fail. One thing that I've noticed just recently is this actually fails if you have resource ID mistakes in your depends on, in your ARM template. This doesn't pick it up. So it'll actually say it works, but then it'll fail when you do a real deployment. So I need to report that. So one thing I did forget to mention is the service principle. It is automatically created using the final configuration script here, but it's good to understand that a little bit more. So if we have a look at my blog, there is a link to that, as well as links to David O'Brien and Matt Hodges' pages who have used some of their code. But there's a really important piece here. This is Azure blog. So this talks all about service principle creation and what's really happening. Basically, we're creating a self-signed certificate, registering a service principle and application in Azure using Azure AD. And this is where all our authentication is coming from. So CloudBot doesn't come with this. You need to create this for your environment. And please make sure I've got it in Git ignore, but make sure you don't push that up into any kind of repository because anyone who has those details will be able to authenticate and use your account because it is added as a contributor and it has the ability to read and write, create and destroy resources. So just protect that and maybe have a little bit of a read before you run it, and have a little bit of a look at the final configuration PS1 to make sure you understand what that's doing to your Azure environment and what's being registered. So what's next for CloudBot? First of all, pull requests are very welcome. Please check out the GitHub page. If you've got any ideas or scripts you want to add to CloudBot or things to improve, I'd love to work with the community on this. There's also a short chatbot demo kind of blog that builds this out in a little bit of a simpler design, but helps you build this out from scratch and might get you understanding a little bit more about what CloudBot's doing. So you can check that out on my blog. And here's some upcoming features that I'm looking to add. I have a lot of these elsewhere, but just need to work on getting them properly integrated and sanitized and published. But if you want to grab any from the list or add your own, again, please feel free to contribute. So the first is to complete the automation of the deployment. It still requires a final login via RDP and run one last script on CloudBot to get him fully configured and working. I want to get that all wrapped up into the DSC bootstrap so we don't need to do any logins and it's a fully automated deployment. The ability to stop, start, list, remove resources. So obviously once we've deployed them, you know, we want to be able to check their state and interact with them as well. So there's a few, you know, common kind of admin tasks there that, you know, would be nice to be able to access via Slack. Add support for Azure DSC extension and Azure Automation DSC. So once we've deployed our infrastructure, you know, we still need to configure it. So, you know, adding the ability for CloudBot to either push a DSC extension install and configuration or register a VM with Azure Automation DSC would give us that last step and really give us a nice automation for our deployment. Our support for multiple service principles. So service principles is how we're authenticating. At the moment, there's just a single default service principle for CloudBot. Everything he does is done under that account. But as you extend to more people in your team, you know, we probably want to have different service principles for different people so we can see who's being authorized for what and have different subscriptions and all kinds of things. And this leads into role-based access. So HubeBot has a role-based access module, and it's very easy to create that for the scripts, but I haven't integrated that yet. So that would be, again, a much more production-ready kind of design. Add multi-cloud support. I'm doing a lot of multi-cloud and hybrid projects at the moment. It'd be great to extend it out from Azure. And also to extend the template catalog to include all of the Azure Bootstrap templates in the Azure Teams repository there. Need to think a little bit how I do that with the different namespaces and parameter files, but it'd be great to be able to inherit all of those Bootstrap templates. You know, so I'm not quite sure how I'm gonna do the mapping for that with the parameters, but I think that would be really cool. Okay, so back over to Keith now, but thanks everybody for your time. And Keith and the PowerShell team for 10 great years. I'm really excited to be working on some of these projects, and I hope people will reach out and help extend CloudBot and really make it a cool little framework for managing cloud environments. Thanks very much.
So welcome back to the control room here. And we've been watching a video created by Mr. Ben Hodge, Global Enterprise Evangelist, who's on controlling Azure with a PowerShell CloudBot. And Ben is live and coming to us from Australia. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Keith. Thanks for having me. It's been great to be part of this anniversary event.
So we greatly appreciate it and all the work that you've put into this. And also, you know, the ability, showing people the ability to harvest some of that information. I like the fact that you did it off of the PowerShell gallery, of course.
Mm-hmm. There was some cute code in there as well.
Yeah, I need to kind of package that up a bit better. You know, I was kind of scrambling a little bit to get it all ready and sanitized, but I'll do a better job of publishing that, you know, in the right way soon.
We're looking forward to it. And I wanted to say we greatly appreciated all your efforts, especially since that you're working here on virtually no sleep, having had a child less than 2 weeks ago.
Yes, he's 2 weeks old in an hour. So as I've already been tweeting with June. Like I said, getting the 3 and under PowerShell Studio version in the works, I think, ready for him when he's first code. So.
Will you also have the planning for the next PowerShell Conference Asia underway?
Yeah, we just had that last month. That was the second year. It was amazing, and amazing support from the PowerShell team. So thank you again for supporting and sending a whole bunch of people out to Singapore. We'll be publishing dates for 2017 soon, so keep an eye out for that. And it was a really great event, and looking forward to the next one. I did actually miss this year because Oscar was on his way, but be back next year.
I think you have your priorities right. Thank you again, and we will talk to you in the future. Right now, we're going to go ahead and switch to another short commercial break, and when we come back, we will hear from Zach Alexander, and he's going to talk about setting up a Minecraft server using PowerShell. Trust me, it works.